It would be understandable if the State Department of Environmental Conservation was somewhat frustrated that its Harlem Road Buffalo River boat launch site is barely visible from Harlem Road, where it's mostly hidden by a neighboring grocery store. It's most easily observed by drivers from a nearby thruway bridge. So DEC officials may be pleased to know that on a recent less-than-ideal Saturday afternoon, some hardy kayakers and fishermen were making full use of the fruits of their labors. But in taking a more historical perspective, Martin Doster, regional remedial engineer for the DEC, might understand how unlikely that scene would have been a half century ago.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly the late 60s, right around that time frame, I think things were starting to come to a head. There was a report issued in the 60s on the Buffalo River basically indicating the river was devoid of oxygen, was various colors, basically was declared dead. Certainly there would be no living creatures in the river.
So how long ago was it that you had started?
Well, let's see. That was about 58 years ago.
So in almost,
I've been doing it a long time, my whole life.
Captain Tom Marks. He keeps busy during the local fishing season, hiring out his equipment and expertise to locals and tourists as part of his Great Lakes fishing adventures.
You know, the changes in the water quality, you know, we saw a lot of reductions after 1972, the Clean Water Act. A lot of reductions in nutrient flow from detergents and stuff. We took the phosphates out of them. The industrial waterways were cleaned up. You know, discharges are eliminated. So that part, it's really improved.
A half century of improvements in the local waterways, specifically the Buffalo River, have been dramatic. Certainly federal legislation helped. So did the creation of the EPA and the DEC. It's impossible to pinpoint the most significant event or effort that sparked change in Buffalo's waterways. The list of contributors too long, the number of factors too high. While the water quality has changed, so has the understanding of how the water can change the quality of life. As executive director of the Valley Community Association, Peg Overdorf serves a neighborhood that for many years has been trapped by its history. Surrounded by rails, abandoned industry, and the Buffalo River, Overdorf faced a daunting reality as her organization tried to breathe life into a crumbling section of the city.
We run an event called the Buffalo River Fest. We could not find an area to go on the river to have the fest.
By networking with a potential seller and gathering private and public funds, a purchase was made of land that would evolve into Riverfest Park on Ohio Street. Later, more river access was gained after a deal with the New York Power Authority to store the ice boom.
These two parks have completely turned this neighborhood around.
Developers are now purchasing neighborhood properties, looking to provide housing to an expected new flock of residents. Overdorf gives much of the credit to the political forces and funding unleashed by the likes of Brian Higgins and Mark Schroeder, and to the power found in the neighborhood's blue-collar spirit.
If people want to work hard, they can do anything. But you got to work hard at it. I mean, this has been 6 years, continues to be a job. I have a real job running the community center. This is sort of my sidekick, you know.
Plenty of hard work has gone into Tift Nature Preserve. But credit for its origins may be less about pluck and more about luck.
My name is Lauren Makianko. My title is Experienced Manager.
Lauren Makianko wasn't around at the beginning in 1972, when city leaders possessed a more narrow vision of the possibilities of the city land that would eventually become Tift Nature Preserve.
Well, the city of Buffalo had planned to use the property as a dump for the city of Buffalo, an official dump.
A possibility that didn't thrill some South Buffalo residents. Still, the question remained of what to do with 264 acres of land, most of which was used at one time for city ship canals, connecting industry to the Erie Canal.
It really took about 4 years before they could open it to the public as a preserve, where they sculpted the mounds area that's our grassland habitat. They brought over refuse from a new Squaw Island facility. They had to transport some refuse to there. And also the boardwalks were built, the trails were groomed, trees were planted. So a lot of things had to be done before they could really make it a preserve.
Some 40 years after it was spared from being the garbage heap, Tift Nature Preserve is a place where outdoor activities, fishing, birdwatching, snowshoeing, are commonplace, all just a short distance from downtown Buffalo. It's another of the many success stories around Buffalo's waterfront, which has become a centerpiece of civic hopes in the early 21st century. Jill Jedlicka is the executive director for the Buffalo Niagara River Keeper, the group that has made preserving the area's water its central mission. She says the forces that nearly destroyed our local waterways and our region nearly a half century ago have come full circle.
I think we're lucky enough, though, in our generation that we no longer have to make a choice between ecology and economy. They're tied to one another. You know, a healthy lake, a healthy river, a healthy ecosystem means a healthy economy for Western New York.
We'll be hearing more from If Our Water Could Talk, the WBFO WNED-TV initiative examining the issues related to our waterfront throughout the week on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. I'm Jay Moran, WBFO News.